The news is live on Joy 99.7 FM, Hits 103.9 FM in Accra, on Love 99.5 in Kumasi, and streaming worldwide at myjoyonline.com, Xspaces, and YouTube. We're also live in all 16 regions of Ghana via partner stations, including Radio Max in Takoradi, ATL FM in Cape Coast, Volta Premier Hall, Radio Justice Tamale, Jakpa FM Bwipe, Getu Radio in Koforidua, Sky in Sunyani, Dreams FM Bulgatanga, and Radio Max Takoradi. Coming up this afternoon, U.S. immigration judge tears into OSP's investigations into former finance minister Kenneth Arrieta, describing it not credible after approving his application for a green card. We have details of the proceedings before U.S. immigration judge David Gardy. Also coming up, opposition NPP takes over Chairman Wontumi's appeal process as it says no decision will be taken on the convicted Ashanti Regional Chairman's eligibility to contest upcoming national elections until all appeal processes are exhausted.
Cannot rely on a contested criminal activity to say that we are pronouncing judgment. For us, we believe that his conviction is not grounded. It is a political conviction.
In the Ashanti region, angry residents of Konongo threatened to shut down the Kumasi-Accra highway over government's failure to complete the abandoned bypass project following a series of fatal road crashes.
Our leaders are sitting there politicizing about this road. We are tired of empty promises that we are going to block the major road in Asantiachum Central.
Also this afternoon, we'll hear from the Education Minister, who is rejecting suggestions a proposed national forum on how to tackle indiscipline in Ghanaian schools is a lazy approach to dealing with the growing problem. We have details as he lists several disturbing cases of misconduct in schools. Health Ghana AIDS Commission attributes high new HIV infection among the youth to risky sexual behaviors, including hookups and young women dating older men.
Whereas if we look at risky sex, people engaging in casual sex, in hookups and so on, the data is showing an increase in risky sexual behavior. So that.
And later in the bulletin, caught by the highest authority, we'll hear or tell you the story of three veteran senior high school students who jumped the school wall to sneak out and dodge their headmaster, only to land in front of the education minister. And that's in our live story for today. These and more with me, Mami Sinyamiche Thompson. This is Joy News, independent, fearless, and credible journalism. Do stay. Get into the details now. This afternoon, a United States immigration judge, David Gardy, has torn into the office of the special prosecutor's investigation of former finance minister Ken Ofori-Atta, describing it not credible. In a hearing last month to consider Ken Ofori-Atta's application for permanent residence in the U.S., the immigration judge held that the former finance minister had proved that he had not engaged in any criminal wrongdoing when he served as finance minister. Well, Kweku Asante of our legal affairs desk has details of this and joins me with more on this. So, Kweku, before we get into the explosive remarks of the judge, what were the arguments put forward by lawyers of Ken Ofori-Atta and the U.S. government? Kweku, if you can hear me, what were the explosive remarks that the judge gave?
Hello,
yes, I can hear you now. I can hear you now. What were the arguments put forward by the lawyers, Mr. Ken Ofori-Atta, and the U.S. government?
Well, Mami, first, if you look at the transcript that we've secured a copy of, we hear from Mr. Cassini, the lawyer for Ken Ofori-Atta. He first makes the point that Ken Ofori-Atta has been targeted. And in fact, to quote, he says that the OSP's Act has been submitted, and this whole thing is designed and created to target a specific individual, and that is Mr. Ofori-Atta. It is not to identify a crime or to prosecute a crime and that there is no crime alleged. He also claims that the OSP's work is a total fabrication as it relates to the SML work, and it is not based on any real investigation. And then finally, he touches on the case currently before the Supreme Court that is challenging the prosecutorial powers of the OSP. And he says that is even a basis to show that it is possible that Ghana's courts will hold that the Supreme Court, or in particular, the OSP, does not have legal authorization to embark on the course he did. And then there was a very brief response from Mr. Anderson, who was representing the U.S. government at that immigration court. And he said that the claim that Kenneth Oriata was being targeted was false, because as far as he is concerned, even though the current government is NDC, they have actually extradited another person who is NDC, in the person of the former Maslok boss, Mrs. Sedina Tamakulationo. And so it cannot be that Mr. Kenneth Oriata is being targeted. Those were the two arguments made by lawyers for Kenneth Oriata and then the U.S. government lawyer at the immigration court.
And the judge has been given some remarks. What are they? Kweku, we know, can you reposition yourself so we can hear you clearly?
The judge says, as far as he's concerned and looking at the affidavit, he does not see that Kenneth Oriata has done any wrong. In fact, let me quote from the transcript again. It says, the court finds that the respondent, that is Kenneth Oriata, has established that he did not engage in wrongdoing, criminal or otherwise, as Minister of Finance or as government official in Ghana. And then the court goes on and zooming into the special prosecutor. It says that OSP's investigation does not appear to him credible, and goes on to say that the NDC government is targeting opposition figures. Again, to quote, it says the respondent, that is Kenneth Oriata, has presented evidence and testimony that the new government under the NDC party has pursued a political prosecution of the respondent based on the political animosities between the two political parties, and come to the conclusion ultimately that Kenneth Oriata has done no wrong. The OSP's work is not credible, it appears to him. And let me quote again, he says, the special prosecutor has not presented any proof in his long affidavit or in the criminal charges to credibly support any claim of wrongdoing, criminal or otherwise, by the respondent. And that is why this immigration judge ultimately made an order granting the Kenneth Oriata, who is the respondent in this matter, a green card and permanent residence.
Right, and does this have any impact on Ghana's attempt to extradite Ken to face charges in Ghana? Because we're also learning that he's also applied for asylum.
Well, my minister, as it relates to the extradition, we should be clear that this matter before the immigration judge is purely on Mr. Kenneth Oriata's application for a green card. It has nothing to do with the stage request for extradition, which will obviously not go to an immigration judge. However, the American government, as part of its opposition to Kenneth Oriata's application for a green card, put in some of the evidence and the affidavit that had been sworn and deposed to, which has now been transmitted to the U.S. government, and sent it there. And so this is not in relation to the extradition, but the immigration judge found cause to comment on it because the U.S. government had put it in evidence. And as it relates to new finding that we have now seen in this transcript, is that Kenneth Oriata has applied for what is called I-589. And I-589 is an application for an asylum. And so, in fact, if you look at the transcript, there's a part where the judge says, now that Kenneth Oriata has been given permanent residency, it is unlikely that he will be removed on the basis of his immigration issues. And so that's Kenneth Oriata's lawyers wish to proceed with the issues having to do with the asylum. And they say yes. And so we expect that in July, the court will be seized with this matter having to do with the asylum. We should say, before I end, that the OSP still disputes some of these issues. Our sources at the OSP says, this is not a matter between Kenneth Oriata and the OSP, and that OSP is not a party to these matters in the courts in the U.S., and that this is an immigration issue. It does not have anything to do with the substance of the criminal allegations they've made against Kenneth Oriata, which is the subject of the extradition request.
Right, quick question to you there with our legal affairs team. Moving on, the opposition New Patriotic Party says it has taken over the appeal against the conviction and 20-year term of its Ashanti Regional Chairman Bernard Entry Bosiako, popularly known as Chairman Wontumi. The party says it will not decide on his eligibility to contest the upcoming national chairman election until the appeal process is concluded and nominations close. Deputy General Secretary Haruna Mohammed spoke to Evans Mensah on PM Express.
Very quickly, Haruna, now that he is a convicted criminal, can he still run as a chairman?
There is an appeal on that.
There's no appeal.
There is an appeal to, we have indicated our resolve to appeal.
So you haven't filed it yet? So you intend to?
Yes, so, and that is, and this one, it has been moved by the party. Mm. It is the party itself that is asking for the appeal to be fastened up.
Okay, so the party will file the appeal on his behalf.
The lawyers will file the appeal on the instructions of the party.
Okay.
So once the party is the one taking the case on, asking the legal counsel to proceed on filing, until we open nominations, we cannot make a determination now because Wontumi has not filed to contest as national chairman of the party.
Well, he maintains Mr. Wontumi's prosecution and conviction remains a political persecution until government jails its own members that have been investigated for galamsey.
John Mahama himself, His Excellency the President, admitted in one of his speeches that in his party, people are doing galamsey. DCs, MMDCs are doing galamsey. Your party people have sat on this particular platform and said that the MPP had given concession to their people. They would take it over and give it to their people. And I can quote it. My own brother, Mustafa Gbandi, said so. You have given those concessions to your people. For the first time in the history of this country, 10 good districts in Central Region where the Vice President, His Excellency Professor Nana, comes from, don't have water to drink. Under this government, you said state of emergency was just a free bunto. You can do it. Up to today, they are getting to 2 years. You have not been able to implement the state of emergency.
Meanwhile, the governing NDC has rejected the position of the NPP that Chairman Wontumi is a political prisoner, as they insist that all evidence in the judgment proved that there was wrongdoing. Rashid Tanko Computer is Deputy Director of Elections and IT for the NDC.
Let's face it, this is the ruling. The ruling is here. You read it.
Mm-hmm.
All those speaking, they've read the ruling. Tell me, throughout the ruling, whether you have seen any political issues in the matter.
There isn't.
Nothing. So where from this rendition
is,
of a political
prisoner?
Listen, who is persecuting who? That's why I'm saying my brothers in MPP, I don't understand them. This day, even if your wife has miscarriage, they'll go and hold press conference and say it's John Mama who caused the miscarriage. And that's why I'm saying that, look, it will do as good as a country if we can buy airtime or give airtime. And you read this ruling of the trial judge to the whole country. Change it to Akan language, in the other languages, Dagbani language, Hausa language, Konkomba language, all the language, the major languages in Ghana. So the Ghanaians will see the ruling and see whether what the press conference they held today was not a chop-back press conference. Why are we doing this to ourselves? The man even giving the things to them, even led the PW1 to go and see.
Prosecution witness.
Yes,
prosecution witness. That is a witness for the Attorney General.
Attorney General. After giving them this, he led them to Kumasi to go and meet somebody who will provide them equipment. It's there. They didn't dispute it.
Well, residents of Konongo, Odumase and surrounding communities in the Ashanti region have given government a month ultimatum to complete the abandoned Konongo bypass or face mass protests that could shut down the Kumasi-Accra highway. They accuse government and local leaders of politicizing a worsening road safety crisis after years of deadly crashes on the stretch. Their ultimatum follows last Wednesday's crash at Odumase, which claimed the lives of 13 people, including a 5-year-old child. Ohim Interior reports.
Residents say Ohene Nkwanta Trenono Atwedeɛ stretch on the main Kumasi Accra Highway is no longer safe, as multiple accident-related deaths are recorded on that stretch daily. These frequent fatal accidents involve taxis, sprinter buses, motorcycles, and other vehicles. A bypass road project initiated years ago under the SY John Ajikun Kufuor administration remains uncompleted. Residents say government destroyed several hectares of Yakoko and plantain farms, displacing some of them, with a promise the bypass would reduce traffic and accidents on the main road.
Nyameya doma o mampeni yese oyi o maye bypass.
We received with joy news of the construction of the bypass by then President Akufo-Addo. This area used to serve as farmlands and building plots for residents of Konongo, Ohene Nkwanta, and Akedi. We were told the bypass was a solution to traffic congestion. To our dismay, the project is at a standstill.
But after several years of waiting, the project remains abandoned and stalled, while the contractor, Kofi Job Construction Company, is nowhere to be found. Heavy vehicular traffic congestion holds up motorists in traffic who are forced to spend several hours in traffic. Residents say the development has contributed to pedestrian knockdowns as a result of the constant gridlock.
Traffic is not
More than 32 people have died in Konongo and Odumasi due to traffic accidents, including Akwesi Yamua, my apprentice. He was struck by a driver violating traffic rules.
They say link roads that could also serve as detours have been neglected and remain in bad shape. The development has angered residents, who have given a one-month ultimatum to government to fix the situation or face their wrath.
In Accra, some residents of Achimota Mile 7 are concerned over threats posed by damaged pedestrian walkway around the Mile 7 roundabout left behind by the June 29 floods. A large portion of the stretch has been badly eroded, exposing users to grave danger. Residents want the walkway fixed immediately to avert any casualty. Evelyn Amber reports.
I'm currently here at Mile 7, where the heavy rains on June 29 have left behind a major collapse along the pedestrian walkway. A large section of the pavement has caved in, leaving a deep hole that is gradually eating into the walkway. Several pavement blocks have already fallen into the hole, while others are hanging at the edge with little support beneath them.
The erosion and the pressure from under bridge, that is from this structure, that is washing the soil under the bridge, is gradually eroding the soil that is used to fill the, even the pedestrian walkway. This is very dangerous because anybody who doesn't know that the under part of the pedestrian walkway is being washed away or erosion is washing it away can drop into it unknowingly.
Fearing for the potential risk posed to them, residents are calling on authorities to quickly fix the damaged section of the walkway.
We are pleading on the government to do something about this. I don't know whether it's a pit or death trap, because the sound is really going, and then now there is a pit behind it. So at times coming, you'll be passing here, and by any means, you might fall in it. We shouldn't wait till someone died here.
School time to children also pass here to come and pick up around there. And looking at this place too, now we don't know, the weather is not stable. It can rain anytime.
The concern now is how quickly the erosion can be contained before more of the walkway is affected. For Joy News, Evelyn Ampa reporting.
Education Minister Haruna Idrisu has dismissed suggestions that a proposed national forum on how to tackle indiscipline in schools is a lazy approach to dealing with a growing problem. At the government accountability series, the minister cited several disturbing cases of misconduct in schools, including students engaging in intimate relationships on campus, stealing school bulbs and stabbing incidents. Listen.
Another practical example is Prempe College. All students decided to have a CCTV camera. The students one day just decided to bring it down. How can that be acceptable? And the danger now, only last week, I saw a number of young people being dismissed from school for doing Sasha or Sisha, those who smoke. So he said, I don't want to know the name, let alone encourage its use. It's called what? Basic school, then they are allowed. How did it enter the school? So, Nasty, are you here? You must strengthen the safety environment of our schools. We have several instances. Exam-related violence resulting in vandalism of headmaster's private saloon car, which happened in Jirapa. We are investigating the assault and fighting among students, including incidents involving external persons. In the Tema Methodist Day Senior High School, a student brought a knife to school and used it to inflict an injury on another student. The aggressor has since been suspended. In Akachi Senior High School, stabbing at Kimbo Senior High School, the culprit has been sentenced and jailed for 6 months. So it's not as if we are not acting. Drug abuse by some students. So you had our collaborative meeting with the Narcotics Control Board, and we've lined something with them. Don't start it. And I think that very soon we'll get some material and literature. There's also the case of teacher abuse of a student in Borley Secondary School. Then some learners even stole school electric bulbs. We've had instances of smoking of weed in some school, St. Thomas Aquinas School. Students engage in intimate kissing on school, Accra High School, not acceptable. Director General, we expect you to exercise the gavel.
And you had Education Minister Haruna Idrisu there. Now 6 months pregnant, Esther Bamusani still teaches at Kinenge DA Basic School in the Savannah region. The trained teacher volunteers. Her presence has filled or helped a critical staffing gap and improved enrollment. She works alongside two other teachers to manage over 200 pupils. Emmanuel Juvenu has more on the seventh episode of Kremlin Start Season 2.
At Kendenge Presby Primary School in the Northeast Gonja District, lessons start with recitals. Six months pregnant, Esther Bamusani still walks into the classroom most mornings. She is a volunteer teacher here. If she does not come, some of these children may not learn at all.
When I was growing, I liked children. So whenever I see children, I feel like being with them. Still have love for the young ones. I still do the work.
Esther holds a diploma in basic education from the EP College of Education in Bimbela. But more than 8 years later, she still has no official posting.
Because of the financial problem, that's why for the lances, I couldn't write up to now.
Esther's presence makes a difference in this classroom. With more than 200 pupils in this school, the shortage of teachers has stretched the staff thin.
The teachers are not enough. When I see that the children are just hanging like that, I feel like coming back.
She usually comes and handles the KG. And if you look at our enrollment structure, that's where we are getting them more.
The school had 144 pupils in 2023. By 2024, the number rose to 191. And today, 227 children come to learn here every day.
When I was not coming, the enrollment was totally down. Because sometimes you come 5 or 6 children. So when I started coming, the children, because of the exercise we're doing here, we sing and we dance. So it was encouraging them to be coming.
That report by Emmanuel Givenu, and you're still listening to the Midday News here on Joy 99.7 FM. We'll take a break. When we return, caught by the highest authority, will tell you the story of three senior high school students who jumped their school wall to sneak out and dodged their headmaster only to land in front of the education minister. That's in our life story. With the most recent data from the Ghana AIDS Commission revealing that 3,500 young people aged between 15 and 24 contracted HIV in 2025. The commission is attributing the figure to the high prevalence of risky sexual behaviors among the youth. In an exclusive interview with Joy News, Acting Director of Policy and Planning at the Ghana AIDS Commission, John Ilyasu Mahama, highlights some of these behaviors.
Over a quarter
of the new infections are within that age group of 15 to 24 years. Really very young people. 15 years to 24 years. There are a number of factors. People would be more careful towards pregnancy than they are towards, you know, getting HIV or other STIs. So we see that condom use is declining among the younger population. Whereas if we look at risky sex, people engaging in casual sex, in hookups and so on, the data is showing an increase because we have a society in which there's a lot of cross-generational sex of younger ladies being in relationship with older men.
Well, we have more data on this, particularly the regional breakdown of the estimates, and my colleague Maxwell Aklobotu joins me with this. So Maxwell, give us the 2025 estimates, especially when it comes to the regional breakdown.
Well, Mami, you see, Greater Accra recorded the highest number of people living with HIV with 77,512 cases, followed by Ashanti and Eastern Regions. However, Bono Region had the highest HIV prevalence at 2.16%, followed by Eastern and Greater Accra. Here is where we have to understand the prevalence cases, because prevalence explains how widespread or common the virus is relative to the population. This means that while Greater Accra has the highest number of cases, HIV is more widespread relative to the population in Bono region. Greater Accra also recorded the highest number of new HIV infections in 2025 with 3,141 cases, followed by Ashanti and the Eastern region.
Thank you, Maxwell. Now, their plan was to dodge school authorities. Instead, they walked straight into a higher authority. Three Vitting senior high school students attempted escape ended with an unexpected encounter with Education Minister Haruna Idrisu. Listen.
I will share this with you. This is a real story. I decided to take a walk in Tamale from my house to Vitim. And then I walk across the wall of Vitim Technical.